You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 8:06, and nice to have you here up north on this Monday morning, June 2nd, 2025. Parker Olson is standing by at Studio A2 in Madison. Nice to have you along. We're going to cover some state news stories throughout the course of the hour here. And also, coming up later in the week, we're going to have Congressman Mark Pocan as a guest on Thursday. Tomorrow, we will have Hans Brighton Moser and Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association to talk about June Dairy Month in Wisconsin, all of the many dairy breakfasts that you can take part in, and some of the other events. Seems to me someone on the text line or in the governor or in the comment section said that they had done one. Oh, here it is. It's Alicia. Said, got June Dairy Month started off yesterday at Wayside Dairy for the Brown County Breakfast on the Farm. So June Dairy Month is underway. And if by chance you have never partaken a dairy breakfast, and Greg Bach, that's still you, buddy, get to a dairy breakfast. Increasingly, they're happening in community centers rather than farms because they're getting so popular. And farms can only handle so much traffic. But so if you're fortunate enough to live in a county where they still have breakfast on the farm someplace, get to it. It's a wonderful community gathering, and it's a wonderful way to appreciate the families who are still working in Wisconsin agriculture. It's not all corporate factory farms yet. So get out there and take part in all of the various June Dairy Month activities. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is off today. Hope she feels better for tomorrow. For today, she says it's going to be mostly sunny, breezy, hot, highs in the mid-80s, pushing 90, a south-southwest wind at 10 to 20 miles an hour. For tonight, increasing cloudiness and mild. There is a good chance of showers late in the northwestern half of the state. Lows in the low to mid-60s with a south-to-southwest wind around 10 miles an hour. It is 65 degrees up here on Lake Wissota right now. And looking at the extended forecast, looks to be a whole lot of, I guess, around mid-70s or so for the rest of the week. So we have this one more hot, humid day to deal with out there. And then things get cooled down, get rainy. Maybe there'll be some storms. But Parker, the wildfire smoke is really noticeable. At least it is up here. I don't know if it is down your way in Madison.
Yeah, we were having, I think, I can't remember who it was last hour that was talking about it. The sun was like just visible, which is really weird because it was just so smoky. You could actually kind of look at it. It was really strange.
It was Selena saying to her daughter, like, stop staring at the sun. But it's, I was doing the same thing. I was driving home from the airport and I just kind of kept glancing over because it was just surreal how easily you could see it because the smoke was that thick. Again, we do not recommend that doing on any ongoing basis here. But I was driving back from the airport because we had flown out west for our oldest grandson graduating high school. And so I wanted to kick that around for a little bit, just high school graduations and things. Where did you graduate from?
La Follette in Madison.
Okay. I mean, I'm assuming you graduated. I should not have jumped to conclusions, but
I did make it to college. So
okay. All right. Well, you know. But which one again?
UW-Whitewater was the college.
See, I think I made my point. But you did graduate high school. You got in there. What do you remember most about your high school graduation? Was it a good experience? Much like we talked about my prom, just because most people have a good experience with something doesn't mean everybody has a good experience with something. How was high school graduation for you?
Well, high school graduation was really weird because I had an in-person graduation. It was the first in-person after COVID. So we were like in that weird age of what are we doing exactly being with people because that's not what we do anymore. Mm-hmm. But we did ours in the football stadium instead of the Kohl Center. We normally did it in the Kohl Center, but because of Madison school districts were like, let's not do it inside. So we had to do it on our football field. That was kind of funky. But it was hot as I can recall. It was very hot. That's all I remember.
Yes, yes. And the other thing I remember about 2020 and 2021 graduations was the number of communities that used drive-in movie theaters. And the audience was just everybody in their cars, in their own little family bubble. And then they would just honk their horns or flash their lights, you know, at the stage up in front there as people were graduating and things like that. For ours, which was in Idaho Falls, my grandson was part of our larger class, excuse me, like 400-some students who were there. And it was held in the local Civic Arena. They have a minor league hockey team, the Idaho Spud Kings, which play there.
Spud Kings.
And
there we go.
The Spud Kings. And so it was a really nice, it was air conditioned because it was hot out the other day up there because they're facing that same high pressure system that we're dealing with here, bringing in all that hot air from down south. So it was nice to be in an air conditioned arena. The thing that they do, and I don't know that every high school necessarily does this now, but they know that, you know, people are going to applaud or cheer when they hear their kid's name or whatever. So they space it. There's always this pause now. And they're definitely TV friendly or, you know, just camera ready for these moments. The graduate, you know, hands a little slip of paper to the person with the microphone so they read the right name. The person walks about, you know, 10 feet onto the stage and pauses. It's almost like Miss America. They just pause right there while the camera gets them. So they're up on the big screen. And by and large, they'll call their name. It'll be like Parker Olson, and Parker will stand there and kind of wave a little bit and then go to the next step of shaking the principal's hand and getting your diploma or whatever. Some folks, however, you know, you could tell which ones wanted like the viral moments. And there were at least a half a dozen young men who, as their name was called, would walk out to their mark on the stage and did a backflip.
Yeah.
In a cap and gown. And I thought, wait, what happens when, you know, the one doesn't, you know, make it? It's like, well, while he lays there with a bone sticking out of his leg, we're going to carry on and call everybody else's names that are out there.
We had a couple at Whitewater. We had a couple of guys who just did like full on dance routines for like a good 30 seconds. They just danced on stage as soon as their name was said.
I don't know about 30 seconds, but we had a couple to do a little dance. The one that I liked, if you do it properly, was the selfie where they get to their mark, they turn around, they hold their phone up and they take a selfie with the whole audience behind them. But the thing is, and this is real nuance, this is down to stage instructions here, is before you do that, give the crowd a wave first, make it seem like, hey, this is all our moment together. The ones that just walked up there and don't even acknowledge the crowd, they just turn around and snap the picture. It's like, come on, you know, let them in. A little bit of show business here. But it was a lot of fun. And our oldest grandson, Mason, has really been into weightlifting. And I mean, the kid is just ripped right now. I was so jealous. And he was known as kind of a gym rat. And so sure enough, when it was his moment, instead of waving, and he doesn't backflip, but he gave this full-on flex, which a few people cheered at, which that was a lot of fun. Mine was a lot different.
What's it like back in the day, Pat?
Back in 1982, I was chosen to give the address at commencement, which was a really nice honor. And so I worked with a couple of teachers because I was on the debate team and I was on the speech team, and we worked really hard at it. And I'm really glad we did, because I just sat in the main audience there with everybody else in my class. And then they called me up to give the address, and I get up to the podium and I go underneath their little shelf there under the podium to grab the copy of my speech, and it is not there. Huh. And I feel like I projectile sweated right through my cap and gown. I don't know if maybe one of the previous speakers accidentally grabbed it going back to his or her chair or whatever. But I am so thankful, because you listen back to the recording of it, and the first thing you hear me say on the tape is, well, I guess I'll just wing it. And I just tried my best to do it from memory, which could have been... And again, this is before viral video, so it wasn't going to be a viral moment, thank God. But I mean, it could have really been a moment of me just going, But I just delivered that thing from memory, which I don't, I could not possibly do that now, you know, an 8 to 10 minute address, whatever it turned out to be. Listened back to the recording and had it like nailed it, like word for word.
That's impressive.
Tony's correcting me. Don't you mean 1882? No, Tony, 1982. Thank you very much. But yeah, delivered that thing and came back and just sat in my chair practically just shaking. I'm like, did I get that right? Did I get that right? Oh, I hope I got that right. It turned out okay. But
that's and good.
It was you know, obviously it was a good time. Glad that it worked well for everybody. Hope everybody else's you know, graduations and commitments went well. And it was nice just to get out there one more time because, you know, Mason now has his own plans that may not necessarily end up in Idaho, you know, to be determined. And his mom is you know, looking at some other job opportunities out of state. So I don't know when we're next going to be out there in the mountains. Do you have much experience on, you know, in Colorado, Idaho, anything like that?
I've never been anywhere except for like DC is the only place. And that was when I was a kid too. I was maybe like 7 or 8. So I have never really done any traveling as an adult.
I never thought I'd be spending this much time in Idaho until our daughter moved out there. And so we've had to drive and fly out there many times over the past 13 years. And it's just gorgeous. I mean, obviously we all know, oh, the mountains, I'll bet they're gorgeous. Yeah, they are. But so is that whole area of the High Plains leading up to it. And the folks are so crazy friendly out there. It's just a beautiful place to be. I'm glad we've been able to make the trips that we have out there because one of the areas my daughter's looking at potentially for moves is the Dallas area. And
that's
I'm
different.
Just not so sure about Texas.
No.
I just don't know.
For a couple of reasons.
Like we said, you know, you're always welcome to come up here in the summer times, you know, because we're up here on the lake. We'll take you on a boat, and maybe we'll go down in the winter time when we need to get a little bit of warm weather fix. But we will see. TBD. I'm glad again. Like I said last hour, the Dallas Stars were eliminated from the Stanley Cup Finals, so I got that much. I don't have to worry about, you know, Samantha being, you know, coaxed into somehow rooting for, you know, a horrible hockey team.
What's your hockey team then? Are you a Wild guy?
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously. Okay. You know, and the Milwaukee Admirals, obviously. But cool. with the North Stars being ripped away and taken down to Dallas, there's just no way I'm rooting for them. Much in the same way, there's no way I'm rooting for the Florida Panthers. You know, even though, yes, I know ice hockey can be played anywhere. You can build arenas any place. It's wrong. It's just wrong.
I don't like it.
Edmonton, all of our hopes are on you. You couldn't get it done last year. See if you can't pull it off this year. And then if time would have allowed, but it's probably best that time doesn't allow. It's just to say a few words about the airplane travel out and back. And one of these other times, I'm going to go on one of my old man rants because I get to do that now. I'm going to go on one of my old man rants about airline etiquette and folks who clearly are polished travel professionals and people who very clearly are not. But that's save it for another time, Pat. Let it go. Take a deep breath and carry on and tell people from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thank you for making this a place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Get off my lawn.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Before we get back to some Wisconsin stories, let me just check things on the national wire here that I wanted to talk about. First off, it was a couple of weeks back when I got back from Portugal, and I was talking to Dan Schaefer about elections elsewhere in the world since Trump took office, and how people looked at that and said, I don't know that that's what I want. And in places like Poland and elsewhere in their national elections, Canada was another example, where the far right was dealt setbacks in recent elections. But it's like we always say here, every election matters. And don't take your eye off the ball. Let me take you back to Poland for a moment, where, again, in parliamentary elections, the far-right party was dealt a setback, but there had to be a runoff election for president, which, again, in most countries, president is not the highest office. It's usually prime minister. Same goes in Poland. But the president still has some duties, obligations, some power. And in that runoff presidential election over the weekend, the conservative candidate won with 50.9% of the vote in a very tight race against the liberal mayor of Warsaw. And so it just, again, reveals some deep divisions in a country that is right there on the eastern flank of NATO and the European Union. It can now be expected that the country will take a more nationalist path, which may or may not lead to more concessions or conciliatory gestures toward Vladimir Putin and Russia. Again, every election matters. Can't emphasize it enough. Then also this headline from the Associated Press this morning. Can Donald Trump fix the national debt? Republican senators, investors, and even Elon Musk have doubts. I'm not waiting until Friday when we have our normal week in review panel and a couple of great journalists and Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze to jump on this one. Because what is the premise of an article like that to begin with? That Donald Trump ever could do something to fix the national debt? That he ever was serious about fixing the national debt? That was ever even an intent of his? As opposed to empty words? It's a lot like what we said about Senator Ron Johnson last week. Senator Johnson is claiming to oppose the current Republican bill, the current Trump tax bill, not because of the massive cuts to Medicaid, but because, in his view, the cuts aren't massive enough. In other words, he still wants giant tax cuts for the very wealthy. And he wants you, the middle class, the working poor, to pay for it. And he says it's because of the debt. He doesn't want to drive up the debt. The debt that has grown like a weed since he took office. And again, he says he's all, you know, anti-debt. But he also was a champion of the last Trump tax bill in 2017, which, again, he bottled up until he could get a better tax break for the type of business he operates. Now, he said that this particular tax benefit that he, you know, helped push through 8 years ago was for small business. And he described this type of company called a pass-through corporation, which does not necessarily pay corporate income tax. It's taken care of. Everything passes through to the owners, and then the owners are personally liable for this. And so he says, well, this is all about small businesses. Well, if it were really about small businesses, he would have put a cap on it and said that this special new tax break goes to pass-through corporations up to a certain level. At that point, you're a pass-through corporation, but you're run by a multimillionaire or a billionaire, and maybe you don't need the tax break. That is not what Ron Johnson was thinking. Ron Johnson was never going to put a cap on it, and he wouldn't do that if it was coming up again right now, despite his pledged concerns about deficits and the debt. And some of the people who benefited most 8 years ago from him putting that expanded sweetheart break in for pass-through corporations were billionaires who then put tens of millions of dollars into getting him elected over Mandela Barnes. They dragged him across the finish line. He otherwise was going to lose to Mandela Barnes if it weren't for those billionaires who directly, financially, personally benefited from Ron Johnson taking more of your money and giving it to tax breaks to them. Had they not gotten involved, we would not still have Ron Johnson as a senator, who again is claiming that he is opposed to this. And you have other people saying, well, maybe this time if we give enough tax cuts to the wealthy, they'll then use that money to create jobs. And the jobs will create revenue. And that will address our national debt. Why isn't there a laugh track that's required to play when anybody says that? Have we learned nothing in 40 years since Ronald Reagan? And by the way, in this story from the Associated Press, where Donald Trump is speaking last week in the Oval Office, over his left shoulder is a great big portrait of Ronald Reagan, who started this fairy tale that we are still living with today, that if we just take care of the rich, yeah, we can run up budget deficits in the short term, but they'll take care of us. It will all trickle down. It didn't work. And I can now say, I'm now old enough to say, we tried to warn you 40 years ago that maybe electing a celebrity actor as president wouldn't necessarily be the best thing for government and the economy. And it's getting a little old after all these years saying I told you so over and over and over again. But instead, we're repeating the same mistakes. And hopefully, this is the last time we have to put up with that. Well, I sure hope so. Reminder, sign up for our newsletters, plural. We've got multiple newsletters to choose from now. Go to our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the top banner. Live from Lake Wissota, what a great place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Those Milwaukee Brewers, winners of seven in a row, having swept three in Philadelphia, move on to Cincinnati. First game against the Reds. Coverage begins at 5:35 this evening on stations in Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, Richland Center, and Hayward. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. Coverage of the Brewers tonight, tomorrow night, and then Wednesday afternoon before a day off and returning home for a series against the San Diego Padres coming up next weekend. Let's talk about the Green Bay Packers for a moment. If you head over to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, you'll be able to see a story there about how the Packers have now scheduled their family night. It's a kind of a pregame thing where there are giveaways, music, fireworks, a lot of kid favorite things that'll be going on there, all happening on the, it says here, the first Saturday of August. I guess I should look up the date on that then. That would be first Saturday in August, August 2nd. I hit the wrong button there. So that's when to look for that. And then you've got the first preseason game on August 9th when they host the New York Jets, probably without Aaron Rodgers. And then the first regular season game at Lambeau will be September 7th, 3:25 against the Detroit Lions. Learn much more about the Packers family night and more about the schedule as well. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com and look for that story there. All right. There is a list that came out late last week. A list, I don't want to call it a hit list, maybe an enemies list, something like that, that was put out by the Trump White House. And it was a list of places that were on their naughty list because they were so-called sanctuary cities or sanctuary communities or whatever, and that they are actively working against what Donald Trump wants to do, which is deport as many brown people as humanly possible. And other people that, in their view, you know, don't belong here in a nation of immigrants that needs immigrants more than ever before. But when the Department of Homeland Security put this list out last week, it said each one would get a formal notification that the government is deeming them uncooperative. It's not really clear what it would mean from there. Apparently, it was just supposed to intimidate them into being more cooperative with all of these immigration raids and things, and putting people who have committed no crimes behind bars, and shipping American citizens out of the country and saying, oops, our bad, but you're going to stay there. So that list would be bad enough as it was, as originally written, complete with its, misspellings, its misidentified counties versus cities. But then there were places on the list that were real head scratchers, places like Shawano County, which, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, voted something like 67% Republican in the last presidential election. So, again, a roughly a 2-to-1 margin. Shawano County is about as ruby red as it gets for its partisan politics. And yet it made this list of non-cooperative institutions. Here's the story from the Journal Sentinel. Shawano County, just west of Green Bay, wound up on the list despite 67% of county voters supporting Trump in the last election. And the county administrator told the Associated Press there must have been some kind of a misunderstanding as to how Shawano County ended up on this list of, you know, immigration sanctuary cities. Well, here's how it happened. Back in March of 2021, so just over 4 years ago, the Shawano County Board, again, in its far-right conservative ways, took a vote that said that Shawano County is going to be a Second Amendment sanctuary county, meaning that it was going to oppose any attempt to enact, quote, legislation unlawfully infringing on our rights under the Second Amendment. In other words, this was shortly after Joe Biden took office as president, and the Shawano County Board wanted to make a statement that said, you know, Joe Biden and you Democrats, you maybe want to keep us safe with your gun safety laws. We're not going to let you. We're going to do anything possible to undermine gun safety laws, is what the Shawano County Board was saying in March of 2021 in giving themselves the ridiculous declaration of Second Amendment Sanctuary County. But in continuing evidence that government service in the Trump administration is more about blind loyalty than it is competence, Shawano County made the list because it had the word sanctuary in it. Yeah, it's a Second Amendment sanctuary county, but you know, a lot of other places are claiming to be sanctuary cities for migrants, and somehow they just got rolled into that list. Here's the updated story from the Associated Press. A widely anticipated list of sanctuary jurisdictions no longer appears on the website of the Department of Homeland Security after receiving widespread criticism for including localities that have actually supported the Trump administration's hardline immigration policies. If you go to that site now, you get a page not found error message in its place. All right, good job. Again, those who hate government the most should be trusted the least to run it competently. And again, it's simply blind loyalty that has replaced competence in terms of government service. In another story that we followed from late last week, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers released a draft environmental review Friday about Enbridge's proposed Line 5 oil and gas pipeline tunnel project that would run in the Straits of Mackinac that connect the Great Lakes, Lake Michigan, and Lake Huron. Line 5 carries around 23 million gallons of oil and natural gas liquids every day, leaving Superior, crossing northern Wisconsin and Michigan to Sarnia, Ontario. It's a place that is grabbing oil from Canada and transporting it somewhere else in Canada, but coming through Superior and northern Wisconsin and Michigan along the way. And Enbridge's pipelines do something that any pipeline has a tendency to do at some point in its history. It leaks. It ruptures. It spills. There was a spill not long ago in Jefferson County. There was a big Enbridge line spill in Michigan a few years back. There are people that don't want Line 5 to exist anymore, saying we need to be moving off of fossil fuels anyway, and that these pipelines could be a real threat to environmental health, to our clean water. Up at the Bad River community near Ashland, Enbridge is running a pipeline right through the reservation. The tribal community has said, you're no longer welcome here. So they're going to reroute the pipeline around the reservation, but still cutting right across the Bad River, dumping right into Lake Superior. Imagine all the oil and natural gas liquids that would be released in the case of a mishap. Now take that same concern and put it to the Straits of Mackinac. You know, Mackinac Island and places like that. Well, there, Enbridge is proposing that they put Line 5 into a tunnel that would run underneath that area, that very sensitive area. The draft environmental review released on Friday by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers says there would be harm to water and wetlands, but the study found that most environmental effects would be short-lived. The effects would include the release of about 20,000 gallons of drilling fluid, and it would draw down groundwater up to 2 feet. It would draw down groundwater up to 2 feet in a small area surrounding the installation of a water intake pipe. The report also said that there would be long-term detrimental effects through permanent wetland loss and adverse effects to archaeological resources that are significant to the indigenous communities there. Here's one thing we don't know from the report: any consideration of climate impacts, because the Trump administration has rescinded taking any action on the impacts of climate change. So the environmental statement lays out these impacts, but again, it's a draft. The review process is accelerated because the Trump administration declared a national energy emergency. Did you know that we are under a national emergency for energy? Even though we are the biggest exporter of energy out there, but not enough for Donald Trump and for the big oil and gas companies. So he declared a national emergency, which put the review of pipeline projects like these on a fast track. So this draft report is a step toward issuing a final environmental impact statement, which will then inform whether a final permit will be issued for Enbridge's Line 5 and for the tunnel. Needless to say, the folks who are most concerned about pollution from this pipeline are calling more attention to what it actually says could happen rather than the fact that it's on a fast track. Line 5 essentially is an existential threat, according to a spokesperson for one of the groups that is fighting this. But Scott Manley, the executive vice president of government relations with Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, says that, you know, homeowners and businesses rely on these products that Line 5 carries. And Manley says the draft report confirms this project will only have minimal and short-term impacts, primarily during construction of the submerged pipeline tunnel. Although the pipeline, he says, has operated safely in the Mackinac Straits for decades, this important project will ensure that businesses and homeowners will continue to have access to affordable and reliable energy they need with yet another layer of environmental protection. He says, although the pipeline has operated safely in the Mackinac Straits for decades. Again, there are people who would beg to differ, who have pointed to the other pipeline spills in Michigan and other spills in Wisconsin, and to say, this is not a chance that we want to take. Unfortunately, this pipeline was also put on a fast track by former Republican Michigan Governor Rick Snyder back in 2018. So again, we have a process that's been accelerated by Republican governors and presidents so that due diligence can't be done to ensure that this is a project that can be operated safely. And this pipeline isn't going through, you know, Scott Manley's backyard, and it's not going through, you know, Trump Tower. It's the people who are actually going to be impacted whose voices should count for a lot more. And at the moment does not. But I will say the process is not done yet and that there is still time for courts, the Environmental Protection Agency, and others to stand up for the safety of the largest supply of fresh water in the world. Jane Matinere is a preview of what's coming up on her show next across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
There will be two different members of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee heard across the Civic Media Radio Network today. State Senator Kelda Royes will appear on Todd Alba's show at 2:30 and State Senator LaTanya Johnson at 4:30 on the Maggie Dawn show. That's just some of what's coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network. You know what else is coming up? Jane Matinere and Greg Bach for Matinere on Air with a preview. They join us right now from
Good morning.
Lovely Radio Park. How's Jane today?
Good, good, good. It was it was like the perfect weekend.
Oh, that's great.
It was. Just weather-wise, okay, maybe 6 or 7 degrees warmer if we're going to get real picky about it. But otherwise, I just thought it was magnificent.
Oh, that's awesome. I was talking earlier about how this week, well, 30 years ago yesterday, we bought the house that we're in right now. We've now been in this home for 30 years.
Wow.
Which we never thought possible. How long have you been in yours?
We have been in our house, I want to say, 24 years.
Okay. And Greg, you're at three?
Three.
3 years. But, oh, like you haven't done anything. You you start right from the get-go going, well, we need to fix this or we need to replace that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it all becomes worth it in the end. But, Jane, like you were telling me, you started not from the ground up, but from the roof down.
We started from the roof down. When we bought our house, it was the ugliest house on the block by far. Not just the outside, but the landscaping and all of that. But mm-hmm. Yeah, we had an ancient roof, so we started with replacing the roof, and then we redid the bathroom, then we redid the kitchen. I mean, but we repainted everything before we moved in and stripped all the hideous wallpaper and stripped all the floors. They had beautiful hard floors underneath all this ugly carpeting and all that stuff. We're in an older house, obviously. Yeah. So this is what you do.
Yeah. 30 years ago, there was nothing in this room except a patio. The only furniture we had was from my dad's patio, some patio furniture, and like a makeshift table that we put a TV on. And, you know, eventually it all filled in. Eventually we did all kinds of projects like you. We didn't really have a lawn to speak of,
right?
You know, but that's okay. We didn't have a lawnmower. Somebody, again, got a hand-me-down one from a friend. It was one of those push mowers with the gas engine on there that frankly could have won the Indy 500. You know, it was a big old Briggs & Stratton that just the smoke would pour out of it every time, assuming you pulled it enough times to actually get it to start.
Yep. I'm not going to cut the lawn. I'm going to melt the lawn.
Oh my gosh, yes. But it, you know, in time, all worth it, I guess. But
the problem now, and I just saw an article about this, Pat, is that people like us, they can't get us out of our houses.
Yes.
That literally is a problem. You know, I'm 65. My husband is 68. Mm-hmm. And for us, the problem now is our house is paid for, which is mm-hmm. great. We're very, very fortunate that way. But if we sell our house, now it's where do we go?
Yeah.
Right.
That we can afford without having to take out another mortgage.
Yes. Same here. We did not intend for this to be a forever home. You know, Sherry had just finished her medical residency. We were looking to set up. She was setting up shop to start her practice. And we thought, well, we'll be here for 12 years till the girls, you know, till they're empty nesters. And then we'll move on to something else. And instead, yes, we've done several remodeling projects. We have totally made this our own. You would not get it for the same price as 30 years ago.
Obviously, my gosh, Pat, you know? Seriously.
I mean,
they don't make lake property anymore.
No. And so, I mean, I totally understand that if this house hadn't changed as much, that maybe it would be more of a starter home. But we do have a real problem with affordable housing stock. And I also, there's a lot of blame on it, but there's a lot of home builders that there's no profit margin in building starter homes. There's profit margin in building McMansions.
Yeah,
and so
definitely.
That's what they build. You know?
And we're seeing that with luxury apartments as well. You know, there's all kinds of developments going up in downtown Milwaukee, which is great if you're looking for a second place and you live in Chicago.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what we have here. The most expensive house on the street. It blew up the street values here along the lake, and because the asking price was insane. I'm not even going to say what the... And we thought, there's no way anybody's going to pay that for that house. And I said, all it takes is one guy from Chicago. And you know who bought it? One guy from Chicago with a whole lot of money. And we see him maybe twice a year, but he's, you know... That's what
he's got his lake property.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. So anyway, so that's our story of house ownership on this 30th anniversary of that. Look, it's now it's become the Lake Wissota studio for a lovely little radio network and its morning show. I mentioned that Senator Royce would be on with Todd this afternoon, Senator LaTanya Johnson with Maggie Dawn. What do you and Greg have coming up for us today and this week?
We are talking about economics with Professor Rick Reed is going to be here. And we like to talk about some basics and basics about the economy. So we are going to talk about the United States credit rating.
Yes.
And some other things that have been going on. So we're doing Econ 101 at 9:30 with Professor Rick Reed.
And if you have any questions, if you're going to stay with us through the show and you want to talk to, or get a question answered, feel free to call us up during the show, email us, and we'll ask the professor. Because we understand the economy is a tough thing to digest.
It's really confusing.
To separate the national economy versus your kitchen table economy. And he's here to really break that down in a nice way.
And again, because we are not experts, we are expert adjacent. Mm-hmm. That's why we are having a professor of economics on. So otherwise, Greg and I would just sit here and make stuff up. So we're not going to do that. And then in hour number two, it is the first Monday of the month. Mm-hmm. That means it's time to go Beyond the Cheese, the segment where we focus on a business outside of the dairy industry. And I'm so excited to talk to McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company. They make hats by hand.
Wait, somebody still makes hats?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
They're on Kinnickinnick, and they make men's hats and women's hats. And for the Kentucky Derby and all of that stuff, they're fantastic. I'm sorry.
Are they officially a haberdasher?
Yes.
They are.
A haberdasher
and a milliner.
And a milliner.
I never thought I'd use the word haberdasher ever again.
Yep. Yes.
I'm just going to say it again. It's a haberdashery.
Bespoke hats, Pat.
Ooh, so nice. All right. Catch us all from Jane and Greg. Coming up next, Matt and Aaron Air. Thank you. You too.
Thank you. See you next week.
Have a wonderful week. Parker, thank you for everything. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Thanks to all of you for being part of the program as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor for Up North News, the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow morning here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.